Hello, I'm Pastor Dan Troutman of the Heritage Baptist Church, located at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, Flemington, New Jersey. The message you're about to hear has been recorded at one of our weekly church services. I trust that as you listen to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, you will be edified in the faith and you will be enriched in your walk with Christ. At the close of this recording, I will speak further with you about knowing for sure that you have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and I'll share with you more about our church ministry. May the message indeed be a blessing to your heart. Let's dismiss the boys and girls up to and including the third grade for their junior church downstairs. And the rest of us will take our Bibles. We're going to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And when you get to Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10, would you hold your finger there? Or put a marker there and then go back to Genesis chapter 12. We're going to be going back and forth, has been some of our manner in this series on God's Hall of Faith. But in Hebrews chapter 11, we find now the introduction of the next individual in the Hall of Faith. His name is Abraham. You follow as I read. Chapter 11, verse 8. Hebrews 11, verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we marvel at your love for us, such as we sing, and can it be? But yea, Lord, we know of whom we have believed, because your word has declared unto us the very person of Almighty God, the very purpose of sending Jesus Christ into this world. And yea, Lord, the blessing of being saved by faith in Christ and Him alone, so that we can be called the children of God, and that we can be knit together in this body of believers here at this time, in this place, and even now being able to further the worship in this service as a body of believers. Oh, would you tune our hearts to your word, praying that you would just cause us to each to put away any distraction, and that we would put the word of God into our hearts. And Lord, if any who are here who are not yet born again, unable to truly fulfill their purpose, I pray that they would understand that you love them so much. You sent Jesus to die to save their soul and forgive their sin, even as we have just said. Their sin, not in part, but the whole, nailed to the cross. They bear it no more. May they come to Christ and be born again. I do pray for believers, Lord, in this world in which we live. It's a hostile place. It's a discouraging place. It's a dark place. But we know, Lord, we are in this world. We're not of this world. And I would pray that we would find encouragement and edification and further equipping from this, your word, this portion of scripture, this preaching of the word, and that you would help any here who are frustrated or maybe troubled or bothered or perhaps some area of life that is just disconcerting. Praying that you would do this spiritual work in those hearts. And thank you for Ed praying. I know with our President's Day holiday tomorrow, we lift up all those in local and state and federal leadership positions of government. For those who are not yet saved, God, we know that you would have all men to be saved, even them, save their souls. And even would you watch over Israel, and oh God, may they recognize and know that the Messiah has come. It is Jesus, and he is coming again. Do that great work through them, praying for our missionaries to do the work around the world. We pray for the Williams and ask that they might just know your guidance and grace and their help and strength and pray that we'd be faithful in praying for them and even supporting them financially. So, Lord, all these things we commit to you and all these things we pray because we bring it before you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our Master. And even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. In this series that we are in, we now come to an individual who receives more attention than anyone else in God's Hall of Faith. His name is Abraham. Should be no surprise. I mean, he is regarded as the great patriarch of Israel. Up to this point, Israel had not yet been a nation. It will be through him. God raises up his chosen people, Israel. Now, not every event in Abraham's life is recorded in these three verses, in this section. But the three that are encourages us to live by faith in the midst of life's difficulties, in the midst of the uncertainties and the unknown. Living by faith. I believe that's what Abraham teaches us here, as the message is entitled, Moving by Faith. I don't know about you, but moving from your residence to another residence is somewhat daunting. It's estimated that the average American moves every 4.5 years. And that's why there are certain products that you would buy for home repair or home redecoration that only last 4.5 years. It's called planned obsolescence. Because everybody's going to want to redecorate and all those things. But as we learn from Abraham, there's more than just changing residence. It is a life of faith. So I would ask you to consider, from this passage of Scripture, the necessity, the need to follow God's leading to put you where He wants. Let me repeat that. Would you follow God's leading to let Him put you where He wants? How is that going to happen? Well, I believe there are two portions we see here in this episode of Abraham's faith in verses 8 through 10, and then back in Genesis chapter 12. First of all, you're in Hebrews 11. Abraham fully obeyed God at His word. That's where it all starts. And it begins in verse number 8, as I just read, by faith. And then look in there, you see the word obeyed. You see, he acted upon God's instructions to do what? Relocate. By faith? Yeah, that's reminding us of verse number 1, where faith is the substance of things hoped for. The word hope carries with it the idea of a confident expectation of things not seen. That means believing the things that you really have never even been aware of, watching things unfold which you didn't even recognize. That's what faith is. You see, faith is trusting. Faith is believing. Faith is relying. And faith has an object. It's God, the trustworthy one, the one who never lies, the one who always is dependable, the one who is faithful. By faith in the God who, if you're here this morning and you're saved, is your heavenly Father. You know, think about that for a moment. Your heavenly Father, who manifests all the perfect fatherly type qualities that you need and you could want, and even exceeding beyond what you would ever ask or think. He is your Creator. He made you. He made you in His image. He made you with a purpose that you would live to His glory. He is your Master, meaning He has the authority to govern and direct and guide and tell you what to do and how to live. We believe that. Sang the song, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded because of who God is. Well, by faith, what does He do? It says, when He was called. The idea of the word called carries with it the idea to be summoned. personally invited, if you would, charged, commanded, ordered. When you look here in these different passages, you see where the Lord had called him. Genesis 15. Nehemiah references the call of Abraham. Acts, Stephen's message that he gives before the religious leaders of the day, the Sanhedrin. Joshua references it. Oh, by the way, in the Joshua passage, he says, if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, if it seems something really cumbersome, difficult, or bad, well, then choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood. He's not talking about the Noahic flood. He's talking about those who were engaged in idolatry all the way back at the beginning. And it's a reference, I believe, to Abraham. Because Abraham grew up in a very idolatrous culture. Very sinful, wicked culture. Matter of fact, when you consider Ur of the Chaldees, and when you consider Sinai and the wilderness of Sin, you understand that there was indeed idolatry that was taking place. The main centers of the moon worship were in Ur, which is in the south of Mesopotamia, and Haran in the north. By the way, Abraham started out in Ur of the Chaldees, and he ended up in Haran, and then he ended up down in Canaan. Became identified with the Semitic Sin, later known as Ishtar or Inanna, the most popular cult in Babylon. That becomes later on, but that sets the stage. By the way, false religions have an origin, and then they continue to kind of grow along with the culture and become ingrained in the culture. It is said that the mountain of Sinai could actually be pronounced in the Hebrew, Sinai, and the wilderness of Zin are derived from this term. This is where Abraham lived. He lived among an idolatrous people. He lived among a cultic people. He did not live in an area that was enamored with or preoccupied with Jehovah worship. Now, it's kind of interesting that God would go all the way over to the Mesopotamian region to choose for himself the one who would be the father of Israel. One who was an idolater. One who was in a culture of idolatry. You know, it just goes to show how sometimes God works. I mean, he could have chosen one of the religious people of the day right in that region, but he didn't. We see that in other ways in which God operates. We celebrate Christmas not too long ago. Who were the very first people who were called to witness the birth and the life of Jesus Christ? Shepherds. Shepherds? Yeah, they were a despised class of people. So much so that they were considered untrustworthy and they were not permitted to give testimony in courts of law or cases of defense or anything else. They were not trustworthy. And yet God chose to use them as the very first witnesses. Jesus at the woman at the well incident, John chapter 4. Who is it that God uses to reach a Samaritan people who are steeped in false religion and cultic practices and false worship? A woman who Jesus says, go call your husband. She says, I don't have a husband. He says, you're right. You don't have a husband. You had five husbands. And the one you're now with isn't even your husband. I perceive that you are a prophet. When Messiah comes, and he says, I am he. That was it for her. She believed. She went back. And the whole city came out. So who did Jesus use? The woman at the well. You know, it is a real blessing to know that God can use the most unordinary to do the extraordinary things. You're sitting here this morning and you may think that you don't have much to offer God. Maybe your background is scarred. Maybe your academics is kind of short. Maybe your occupation isn't very profitable. You know, you're the very person God wants to use. If you let him. Because you know why? Because your dependence is not so much on all your talents and abilities and your looks and all these things, but your dependence is ultimately on God. Getting back to the text, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, so what he was called to do, go back to Genesis chapter 12. Let's look and see exactly what this calling is. It gets a little more specific in Genesis chapter 12, and then we'll come back to Hebrews 11. Look at what it says. We're in chapter 12 of Genesis, beginning in verse 1. Now, the Lord, that's interesting to point out already, because here it's all capitalized. That means Jehovah, the ever-existing, eternally alive one, the one who has no beginning, no end, the promise-keeping one, the personally relatable one. It doesn't say, now God said. Jehovah said to Abram, get out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, into a land I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. By the way, are you paying attention when God speaks? I don't know how all this happened. I don't know what he was doing. But God came and God said, Abram, he calls him by name, by the way. I mean, that kind of surprised me if somebody comes and calls me by name I'd never met. And he gives this command, because the imperative mood here is pretty specific, calling for decisive action. Get out from. Carries with it the idea of totality in removal. Abandon. Leave completely. Your country. That's his homeland. Abraham's 75 years of age at this point. Yeah, he lives to be 175. However, at age 75, he's become pretty entrenched in his country, his homeland, a place he knew so well. Culture, traditions, the language, the people. And then he narrows it down a little further. You leave your country and your kindred. That means all your family ties, your relationships with the people around you, those whom you associate, you built relationships over 75 years. Then he narrows it down even further, and from your family, mom, dad. Well, his father had already died at this point, perhaps. Terah. They all leave and they come up and Terah dies up in Haran. The immediate family, no holding back. In other words, leave completely what you know, whom you know. Can I ask you a question? Could you trust God enough to leave all the familiar and go to the unfamiliar? I don't know about you, but the thought of moving at this point in my life, I know when Dawn and I were praying and considering what the Lord's will for us would be when the church planting and the church establishing work seemed to be Lord moving us. And I was of the point, Lord, I'm not moving unless you kill me or unless you make it absolutely clear. I'm here. My philosophy is where you send me, I'm there until you make it clear. Well, the Lord started making it pretty clear. And then where are we going? We're going to New Jersey. What? Lord. I had people ask me, what? What are you moving to New Jersey for? And I had to come up with this reply and say, listen, it's not up to me. You better ask God. Don't ask me. This is what God is doing. And so when Dawn and I came down here, we said, may this be the last time we ever move, because we knew what it was like. We had three small children. We had a whole household. We moved up to the Scranton area with a 14-foot U-Haul box truck. And over the course of time we lived there, now we're looking at a 28-foot U-Haul with a mom's attic on top of it and a van full of stuff and another all kind of stuff. And I'm preparing this message. I'm thinking, Lord, I'm preparing this for all these people, not for me, because I'm not moving anywhere. Can you imagine, ladies, your husband comes home and says, honey, we're moving. Where are we going? I don't know. What would you say? Are you nuts? I'm supposed to follow your leading, but if your leading is taking us a place where we don't know where we're going, that's pretty hard to do. But then you enter the equation, God said so. God said it. What do you do then? Can you trust God enough? Can you believe when God is working? And by the way, Abraham must have discerned the voice of Jehovah God in order to act. Because when you look at the next word, he did what? He obeyed. Well, actually, when you consider all the promises that God has given to him from that passage we just read, look at the next slide and consider what is happening here. Oops, that's not the right one. But nevertheless, God told him to leave and to give him. Well, it is the next one. Because when you look at Genesis chapter 12, it lines up with exactly what he says over in Hebrews chapter 11. Now we go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Look what it says. And he did what? He was moved to go out into a place which he would receive for an inheritance. What is an inheritance? Some of you sitting here, you know what an inheritance is, because you received from an estate, or you received from those who have passed away, and they have passed on to you their goods, their monies, their properties, right? Then essentially, that's what an inheritance is. It's the allotted portion that's granted by a rightful claim. So here it includes for Abram, this inheritance is not just the land, but it's God's favor, multiplied descendants, though he had no children at this time. He had no children. And God said, I'm going to make of you a great nation. Look at all the things that God had promised him. This must have been absolutely dumbfounding to Abram. You're going to do all these things? Now the next slide, Tim. Look at what is happening. All these different things that are listed. And look at the language here. I will. You shall. I will. I will. And when God says I will, he does. Blessed assurance. You know, something that's really key here. When God promises, our faith is exercised. Because you know something about promises? Are you seeing promises fulfilled? No, you're hearing of them. So that's where your faith has to be. What does God say? What is God guaranteeing here? And my God doesn't lie. That's Titus chapter 1. We looked at it in our Sunday school hour. So Abram's hearing all these things. So, this must have been the first time that, or he's hearing this. What does he do? No, I must have eaten something. Boy, I'm hearing things that aren't quite, or I don't know. I like it here. I've been so entrenched. I'm so accustomed. 75 years, I've built my life here. I got my house here. I got all these things here. And look at the next word. Hebrews chapter 11. He what? Obeyed. I love the word obeyed. It's a compound word. It literally reads to hear under. It means to act as a result of listening, to do as instructed. Carries the idea of both teachability and submission. In other words, Abraham had to listen, not just hear. He had to listen. And then he had to process, and then he had to act. And some of that is just this quickly. God said it, that settles it. Good, we're going. The same word, obey, is used for children to parents, both mother and father. Children, obey. Same word in James chapter 1. Wherefore, my beloved, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. We're to be listening to do. You see, we don't just listen to build information. Like your heart or your mind is a big hard drive and you're just putting information in there, database. No, we are listening to do. And when I read the Bible, it's listening to what God is saying so I can do what He is saying. May I ask you a question? In order to be doing, you have to be listening. Are you listening to God? Is your heart, is your mind? Throughout this week, what opportunities you've given God to speak to you through His Word? Have you been reading it? Considering it? And then when you do, you know, there are times you have an option. I read what God says. Oh, I don't like that. Because that goes totally against my comfort zone. That's going to be a little inconvenient. That's not what I like. So I'll put that aside. I don't think God's talking to me. He might be talking to my wife. I hope she listens. No. God, anything you say and everything you say is for my good. I got to really realize that and I got to believe that. Even though it's not comfortable, even though it's not convenient. Okay. So what does Abraham do? He obeys. Back to Genesis 12:4. I just read verses 1 through 3. Look at the next word in chapter 12, verse 4. So Abraham departed. That word so, in the Hebrew language, it is showing a connection from the previous to this what is now being said, and it's showing sequential, chronological action. It doesn't seem that Abraham hesitated. It does seem like he argued. At this point, he does. No reservation. May I ask you a question? Are you willing to submit to God's authority, God's word? When He's telling you to do something, go somewhere, even to move? Is God your God, your Heavenly Father? And have you been giving Him teachability and submission? I pray we are. But not only does He act upon it, but now He accepts. And by the way, when you look at this, it's interesting to point out. When you go back, and I'm going to continue in Hebrews chapter 11 now. And it's really telling. As you get down through verse number 8. He obeyed, and what? He went out. Now, it could just stop there, right? Because that's what he did. He left. He departed. He goes from the Ur of the Chaldees, a 1,000-some-mile journey up around the Fertile Crescent, and he's going to end up down in Canaan by the Mediterranean Sea with a stop along Haran, which is at the peak there of the Fertile Crescent. He went out. It's the same word as go out, which God said he should do. So exactly. And then it says, not knowing. The verb that is used here is the idea he has no full comprehension. It's the idea he has not as much information, not a full awareness. In other words, he didn't know the final destination. Ever have your kids? Maybe when you get in the car, come on, let's go. Where are we going? Right? Oh, just get in the car. Oh, Dad, tell me, where are we going? Where are we going? You'll find out when you get there. Oh, Dad, are we going to get ice cream? Oh, that'd be great, Dad. You see, the kids want to know. You also have that. God sometimes will say, listen, I'm going to work in your life, but I'm not going to tell you the end result. I think that's wise on God's part, and I think it's an act of grace, because you know something? If I always knew the end result, I don't know if I'd have the faith to do it. I see what's going to happen. Lord, I don't like what's going to happen, so I'm not going to start out. But there's a key element here that has to be remembered. By faith, Abraham obeyed. He went out to unknown destination. So listen, catch this. The faith that he exercised to step out was the same faith to keep going when he didn't know where he was going. That means to me that I have to have the same faith to act and to continue because I have the same God. I have the same word. I have the same promises. And God is faithful. He's not going to, oh, guess what, Abraham? Welcome to the desert. See ya. Lord! No, no, no. God's not going to do that. He's 75 years of age. Sarah is 65 years old. They have no children. And I don't know how that conversation went. But wives, or even if you're sitting here as a child or a young person, and you're, we're going to move. Where are we moving to? I don't know. What about my friends? What about, and ladies, you get in a routine, right? I go to this grocery store at this time. I have these doctors. I trust them. Okay. And the traffic patterns, the circles, I'm getting used to them. And I'm going to a whole new place, a whole new house, whole new kitchen. I know where everything is in my kitchen. Do you ever have one of those opportunities when somebody decides they rearrange your space? Want to do you a favor? I will, maybe. All right. My wife, bless her heart, home from college, desired to help her mom out. Mom's busy. And she's going to help the kitchen to be further arranged and such. And mom gets home and says, What? There is something about familiarity, right? And my dear wife was well-intentioned. It's just when you have a routine and you have a familiarity, it's difficult to let go of that, right? But faith says, God said, move. God said, let's go. You know why? Because where I, now catch this, where I am going is better than from where I've come. Because God is able to provide everything and even more than whatever he had given up. Reminds me of Ephesians 3. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. God can do great things. You just have to believe. Getting back to that story when my wife and I and our three kids, on that Sunday we candidated the old building. I think it was December the 15th, if I'm not mistaken, 1998. And I preached, and I didn't know that they were going to vote that day and expect a response from me. I didn't realize that. So we are dismissed as they talk. And out comes Mr. Willie. We're sitting on this step. It's a nice warm day. He says, come back in. We come back in, and they revealed the vote. 18 voting members that morning. And what do you want to do? I said, I didn't come here to candidate without an understanding that if you wanted me, that this is where God wants me to be. I accept. And then we had a move. The children were, Missy was 2.5, and we're going to a brand new place. Coming from a whole different culture. I mean, this is Abrahamic. Leave your people. Leave your place. Go. And we didn't know where we were going to live. We started looking at houses. We started looking at rentals. And at that time, our house, I mean, we bought it for $75,000. 3-bedroom ranch. I come down here. And, where are we going to live? We looked at a place in Main Street. It was the last one we looked at. It was dark and the lights didn't all go on and the price was right and the location was good. We'll take it. And then when we saw it in the daytime, it was like, okay, but that's where God would have us. And you know what? Wherever God wants you to be is the best place for you to be. So let me ask you this question. If God would move you, or if God is moving you, that may be a new job. It may be a new house. It may be a different location. But listen, listen, listen. It has to be God who's moving you. Abraham didn't reject. He didn't refuse. Because to do so would do a role reversal and say, Lord, I am God now. I'm going to not go. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I want to be where I'm going to be and all these things. God says, Abraham, move. And Abraham says, God, you're God. You're my heavenly Father. Good, I'm going. Where are we going? I'll tell you when you get here. That means he had to exercise faith the whole journey. Imagine Sarah. Honey, are we there yet? No, not there yet. When are we going to get there? Oh. So listen, because of Abraham's faith in God, his wife also had to exercise faith in God. You know how your faith can impact others? When God says something, we obey. Where he sends, we go. Now, number two, notice something else. Abraham constantly, here's where we get into the further elements of it. He constantly trusted God for his future. Look at verse number 9, Hebrews chapter 11. He depended upon God's provision. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. Now we're there again, by faith. That means he took and had faith in God as he set out, and he has faith in God as he continues on. He has faith as he continues on. By the way, let me ask you a question. Are you living by faith on a consistent basis so that the faith you started out on is the same faith you're continuing in? Because you have the same God, same promises. He sojourned. What does it mean to sojourn? The word sojourn means to dwell alongside of. It has the idea of a foreigner residing in a foreign country. It's not so much a permanent citizen, but he's living among the Canaanites. Incidentally, that's the same word that is used in Ephesians and 1 Peter of you and me. You know what that means? We're sojourners in this world. This is not our home. We are temporary residents here. We are earthlings who have a heavenly citizenship. And our main way of living should be as heavenly citizens on this earth. Because all that's on this earth is temporary and everything in heaven is permanent. And so Abraham is living in such a way that he recognizes a temporary situation because he's not fully arrived where he's going, but there's another element here. It's not just so much temporary in this location in Canaan, but it's temporary in his entire life on the earth. Folks, I pray and trust that we see that in our lives, that our life on earth, that's not our established residence. Of all the funerals I've ever performed, and I think others can attest to it who've been working in cemeteries and doing other things, I have yet to perform a funeral where the hearse is pulling a U-Haul trailer. They are not taking it with them. And the Egyptians, they thought that if they put all these things into their Pharaoh's tomb, that it will go with them to the afterlife, only to find out it not, no transporting over. It didn't get there. Folks, the things on this earth are only temporary. That's why the songs we sung this morning, I love what God does that. He puts them together and there's an emphasis upon future in heaven, temporary on earth. God says he is going where? Look at verse number 9 again. He sojourned in the land of promise. Here's where we get the term promised land. It's the promised land. It's what God said. God's going to give it to you, Abram. You believe that. Yeah, as in a strange country. It shows the contrast between one's own and what belongs to another. He's living among the settled inhabitants of Canaan. They're non-Jehovah worshipers. They're idolaters. He's living among them, but he's not of them. A distinction, if you will. By the way, I pray and trust that you and I maintain a heavenly distinction while we are living on this earth. We don't become like the people of this world, their philosophies and their pursuits and such. Why? Because we're saved. We're different. Secondly, notice something else. He not only depended upon God's provision, but he knew God's plan was going to be accomplished. Oh, I love this. When you get down to the end of verse number 9, or the second part of it, it says, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. The word dwelling means he did settle down into the land of Canaan where God told him to be. But the word, the emphasis is not so much upon dwelling, but in tents. In other words, he didn't build a permanent home. He did remain somewhat nomadic, ready to move if God told him to. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 7 and 8, we know that he worshiped God while avoiding idolatry. Do you know how we know that? Well, I'm going to go back. Don't turn there. But in Genesis chapter 12, verse number 7, look what it says. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto your seed will I give this land. There he builded an altar unto the Lord. You talk about distinction. Among all the idolaters, he builds an altar to whom? Jehovah. The one who called him and the one who led him is the one who he gave full worship. By the way, his faith is evidenced again continually. And he believed that God was going to accomplish it. Because he was heirs with the boys. Who are these boys? Remember, he came. He didn't have any children. Isaac is born 25 years later. Abraham is 120 years old. And here's the fulfillment of the promise. What a joy. Jacob is born 85 years later. 85 years later, guess what? He is witnessing and he's watching the promise of God unfold. And then from Jacob, you get these 12. And then from the 12, you go to 70. And then from the 70, you get a multitude. And here we are living in this day in 2026 with the number of the descendants of Abraham being as the sand of the seashore, which cannot be numbered, the stars in the sky, which cannot be counted. Our God is a faithful God. And listen, if he can keep those promises to Abram, he can keep his promises to you. He's a comforting God. You need comfort this morning? God has it for you. You need confidence this morning? God has it for you. You need encouragement? God has it. You need direction? God has it. You need wisdom? God has it. You need forgiveness? God has it. You need restoration? God has it. Because your God, through whom you believe and to whom you are being committed and having faith in, never changes. He loves you. He cares about you more than anybody else could ever love or care for you. He leads you such a way that nobody else could. He wants the best for you. He must have taught, here's another element. How did the boys know about this inheritance? They were heirs with him. By the way, the word heirs is the same word as inheritance. He must have taught them. Isaac is born. Dad, where are we going? Dad, what's going on? Do you remember when Abraham was asked to offer up Isaac, his son, his only son? Abraham says, okay, Lord, it's going to be hard. But see, the faith that he had when he left was the same faith that he exercised through the whole process, through the whole life. And that's why in the 2 Corinthians letter, chapter 5, we live by faith, not by sight. Because what you see can be elusive. What you can see can be deceptive. What you see can be distracting. What you can see is perception. Faith is grounded upon a God who is trustworthy and a God who is dependable. Abraham believed. He must have taught. Which leads me to say this, parents, are we teaching our children a life of faith? In our Sunday school classes and junior churches, vacation Bible schools and truth trackers, we're helping the children to develop an understanding of who God is so they can have a faith in this God. Can you imagine the conversations they must have had? Isaac, through you, God is going to bless. Through you is going to be built a nation. Through you. And then Isaac passing that on to Jacob. See, the life of faith is not something we keep to ourselves. It's a life we live in front of others, and we promote and we teach to others. Which leads me to the last point. He expected God's promise to be fulfilled. Look at verse 10. For he looked for a city. This is interesting. He's looking for a city while he's dwelling in tents. He doesn't have a permanent house. But he's looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You see where it says he looked? The imperfect tense carries with it the idea of an ongoing activity. He wasn't just looking now. He was constantly looking. He was anticipating. It means to await expectantly. I'll never forget with our children. When they knew that Grandma and Papa were coming, we wouldn't always tell them what time. We'd say, Grandma and Papa are coming. And you know what they would do? I'll never forget the house that we had that I mentioned when we lived in Taylor. That $75,000 house, right? Yeah. Had a big picture window that would face the road. And the kids at their age, Missy was a little bit too young, but Christy and Joel, they would stand on the couch with their arms over the back of the couch, and they'd watch. And they would wait. And they would wait. And then finally, here comes Grandma and Papa. And they would just get over the moon. My favorite phrase to my kids was what? Under control. Under control. And they had that expectation. So did Abraham. I don't know if Abraham stood on any couches, but Abraham looked with an expectation. Because listen, he knew this. What God promised is more than the here and now. What God promised is the there and then. And he didn't know when, but he knows surely it's going to happen. Whose city and whose builder, foundations. By the way, he's looking for permanence. And that contrasts life on earth as temporary and life in heaven as permanent. Whose builder and maker is God. You see that phrase, builder? It means the architect, the planner of every part and integrator of each separate part into the whole. It's translated as craftsman. It reminds me, and you go to chapter 12 when it talks about Jesus, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. Different words. But the word maker, it's the only time it appears in the New Testament, literally means a worker for the people. The one executing the plans. I have a quote from one of the lexicons I want to read you. A word that the Greeks associated with public craftsmen who serve the common good. The author here underscores that God's creative labor is both intentional and beneficent, designed for the redeemed community. In other words, as Abraham looked, he understood the purpose that God had, and he understood the plan that would be fulfilled, and he understood the person who was making it happen. That's the faith of Abraham. Is your gaze set upon God, who's building a future home in glory for you? Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in also in me. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Why? Because in my Father's house are many mansions. And I'm making one, preparing one for you. A couple of thoughts as we close. Number one, are you listening to God through his word to direct and guide you where he wants you to be? Number two, are you submitting yourself to God if he is moving you or directing you to some place, somewhere new? Number three, in the process of not knowing exactly when you might get there, or how that might unfold, is your faith in him steadfast and sure? And then last of all, as you live your life on this earth, do you realize it's only temporary? If you're here this morning and you're saved, your home is in heaven. And you could be there today. The Lord's coming again to take us unto Himself. Our life is short. Anything can happen. The key is, are you ready? Maybe you're here today and you've not yet been saved. So you have no hope for the heaven. Maybe you're trusting in a baptism. Maybe you're trusting in good works. If you're here this morning and you've never had your sin taken away, you've never been born again, may I implore you to trust Jesus. Put your faith in Him, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. On this Sunday morning, February 15th, you could be born again, so that everything that Abraham teaches us, you can live in your life. And if you already are saved, that's what it's there for. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you put Abraham here listed as a model, a believer who lived by faith, fully anticipating the fulfillment of your promises. Yea, Lord, even though he didn't know exactly where he was going, he trusted you. Oh, I pray the same would be true for us today. As Abram followed your leading, had faith where you were taking him, may we do so without resistance, without argument, but with full submission and knowing wherever you would have us to be is the best place for us. Let us not fight against you, but let us have faith in you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. As you think over this sermon, the verses that were unpackaged, the application that was made, are you walking by faith? Is God moving in your life? Are you listening to God with teachability and submission so that when He is speaking, when He is directing, that you're following Him? Maybe you're here today and maybe something's gotten in the way of God's voice to you. Maybe some distraction, or maybe you're resisting or refusing what God would have for you. May I pray with you, pray for you? With an uplifted hand, you'd say, Pastor, pray with me. Abraham has showed me, God has showed me through the life of Abraham what you would have for me that I need to submit to and accept. Here's my hand. Yes, 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 yes. Now maybe you're here and you're not yet saved. May I pray for you? Pastor, I've been hearing the gospel. I've been listening to the message of salvation. I've not yet been saved, but I need to be saved. Would you pray for me? I need Jesus Christ as my personal Savior so that my hope is established in Him and my home is in heaven. May I pray for you? Pastor, here's my hand. Pray for me. I don't have the confident assurance of my salvation. Here's my hand. Pray for me. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the life of Abraham. I pray for these acknowledging in their own hearts and minds and lives areas that really do need to be given over to you. Maybe starting with a teachability. Maybe involving a submission. Maybe giving up that which they're holding on to. Maybe resisting, refusing, and trying to replace your will with their own. Oh God, I pray that you would have your way and your will, and that we would follow all the way as our Savior leads us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for listening. I trust it has been a blessing to your heart. As mentioned at the beginning of this recording, let me take the opportunity to share with you how you can know God personally by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've not done so already. Thankfully, God reveals in the Bible that you can have the absolute confidence, a full assurance of eternal life in heaven. I invite you to click on the Salvation tab on the homepage and read the gospel message, or call me at the church office at 908-788-2672 to talk about God's gift of eternal life. Also, we welcome you to visit any of our services here at Heritage Baptist Church at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, just off State Highway 12 in Flemington, New Jersey. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:30 a.m., followed by our morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. Our evening service is at 6 p.m., and our Wednesday prayer time, Bible study, and children's ministry begins at 7 p.m. Thanks again, and have a great day for His glory, honor, and praise.